The state legislature is on break until after Thanksgiving, but when they return, there will be some issues to contend with, and some concern the future health and well-being of the state's environment. Good morning, I'm David Fair, and you're listening to Issues of the Environment on 89.1 WEMU. Our guest this morning is Ann Arbor State Representative Jeff Irwin. The 53rd District Democrat has been pushing some measures aimed at specifically better protecting the Great Lakes. Good morning, and welcome back to WEMU and Issues of the Environment.
Good morning. Thanks for having me back.
Well, you have made a proposal dealing with the oil line, the Enbridge oil line, that runs under the Straits of Mackinac. Now, this has been an issue. People have been calling for it to be removed, rerouted, dealt with in a more significant way. You are now calling specifically on the governor and Attorney General Bill Schuette to do exactly that.
That's exactly right. The state has an easement with Enbridge that allows them to run this pipeline under the Straits of Mackinac, the bottom lands of our Great Lakes. And there's a termination clause in that easement. We're calling upon the governor and the attorney general to exercise the citizens' rights to terminate that easement. Let's go to court and start working on the process to get this pipeline out of the Straits of Mackinac and get that oil traffic rerouted.
The governor, in his own words, said that this pipeline's days are numbered. Now, that's been several months ago since he made that statement, and there's been no such edict forthcoming that would indicate the days are numbered at all.
Right. It was the attorney general who, at the end of a 9-month-long study process with the pipeline task force, said that the pipeline's days were numbered, and that was about 117 days ago, or maybe a couple more at this point. Usually when someone says something's days are numbered, that's an indication that they want to get real serious and get real tough. And I want the attorney general to turn that tough rhetoric into tough action. Instead of taking action to do anything to get this pipeline moved, at the end of a 9-month study process of the pipeline task force, their big recommendation was to start the pipeline advisory committee, which has now met once. And I'm hoping that they come up with some good regulations or some good ideas. But in the meantime, we've got actions that should be taken now. The governor and the attorney general should go to court and start to terminate this easement with Enbridge.
Because that termination process could take months, if not years.
Exactly. And this is the same company who said, trust us, when their old pipeline in the Kalamazoo River broke open, spewing almost a million gallons of crude oil into that river, damaging it probably forever. And we can't have that kind of disaster in the Straits of Mackinac. This is a 62-year-old pipeline run by the same company. And the Coast Guard has said that if there's a spill in the Straits of Mackinac, especially if it's in the wintertime, that it won't be possible to clean up that mess. The currents are too complicated. There's too much open water. And it's just simply not feasible to clean up a spill in the Great Lakes. We can't have that kind of damage to our environment, to our Great Lakes, to our Pure Michigan brand. And we need to take serious precautions. One of the most frustrating things to me is that Representative Roberts and I, who called on the Attorney General and the Governor to shut down the pipeline just about 2 weeks ago, over a year, or almost a year ago, we proposed legislation that would have at least done some of the simple things that we could do to get control of the situation. At least provide regular inspections, make sure that the liners are in place, require anchoring of the pipeline to the bottomlands, all of the sort of best practices that should be in place already. And we can't get a hearing on those bills. We can't get some of these simple regulatory actions to move forward. And so we're trying to take the next step and call upon the governor and attorney general to do what they need to do on behalf of the Great Lakes. The people of Michigan and shut this down.
It sounds as though the contract is heavily weighted in favor of Enbridge at this point in what it has to and what it's required to do with the pipeline. To its credit, it is 62 years old. There has not been an incident to this point, and they are self-inspecting, self-regulating, and tell us that it is an entirely safe pipeline at this point.
Yeah, if it's entirely safe, they should be very comfortable having the state go down there with inspectors that are state employees or a third party that's independent and verify that the pipeline is in good shape. This is the same company that said, trust us, when they were operating the pipeline in the Kalamazoo River. And I just don't think it's appropriate with this much on the line for us to simply trust them. And this easement agreement is very, very old. It's very stilted in favor of Enbridge. Just one example that I think is sort of cute at best is that it requires them to have certain bonds, just in case there's an accident. And it requires, for instance, a $100,000 surety bond for them to post in case there's an accident. And that's
that
just
won't
one
even
more
cover the cost of the emergency call.
Exactly. That's one more example of how old this agreement is. It was written in 1953, and we need to update our standards to protect the Great Lakes.
Well, based on the conversations you've had since bringing this to the fore a couple of weeks ago with this call for further and immediate action, what has the response been, and do you expect action before we hit the calendar year?
I don't expect action in the House of Representatives on this, mainly because we haven't had action on much less aggressive proposals that we've made just simply to go and inspect the pipeline. So I don't expect there'll be action in the House. We haven't heard a very strong reaction from the governor and the attorney general, other than that they're going to be participating in this next advisory board to come up with ideas on the pipeline. Hopefully.
So on a surface level, it seems like an exercise in futility. What is the purpose of continually bringing this up if you're not going to get any action or make any advancement?
Well, part of the goal is public involvement and public notice. Winter's coming. The straits are going to ice over. Now would be an excellent time for the state to get serious about taking some measures to ensure that the pipeline is safe. And despite the fact that I don't think we're going to pass this bill, I do think that we're going to see some additional actions from the administration. And I'm hoping that our calls for them to take this more seriously will cause them to take it more seriously. We've seen that with a number of other issues. I've introduced a number of bills on fracking, for instance. None of those bills have actually passed. But we've seen the State Department of Environmental Quality change their standards on two separate occasions to adopt some of the ideas that we've put in our legislation and that we've talked about publicly. So, our hope is that even if they're not able to or willing to pass bills with our names on it, that we can at least engage them in a conversation about how do we move protection of the Great Lakes forward faster.
It's about progress, not perfection.
Precisely.
You are listening to Issues of the Environment on 89.1 WEMU. Our guest this morning is Ann Arbor State Representative Jeff Irwin. Beyond the oil pipelines issue, obviously there are just numerous threats to the Great Lakes. But another one that we don't talk about frequently, that poses not only dangers to the lakes themselves, but to the ecosystem that it supports and to all the wildlife that it supports, is microplastics and microbeads. You're taking direct aim at the dumping of microbeads into the Great Lakes waters.
Yeah, absolutely. This is a big problem and one that there should be bipartisan action on. These microplastics or microbeads are in all sorts of personal care products. They're used as exfoliants, but unfortunately, because they're so microscopic, they're smaller than a grain of sand. They pass right through our water treatment facilities and go right into the Great Lakes and into our rivers and streams.
And those of us who use those products, we're not even aware we're contributing to this issue.
That's exactly right. And some states have taken action to prohibit microbeads or to provide some sort of timeline upon which microbeads will be prohibited. And I've been a part of legislation here in the Michigan House for years now to try to address this issue and to address it clearly and once and for all.
Where are we seeing the impacts of microbead infiltration of our waters?
Well, all over the Great Lakes. There's been testing. I believe it was Dr. Mason from New York who did the initial testing on this work to identify where microbeads are a problem. They're a problem all over the basin in different concentrations, and it's only going to get worse. The more that people use these products, the more that these products are on the market, the more microbeads we're going to have. And so there's legislation that's been introduced in the Michigan House. I'm a co-sponsor of House Bill 4287 from Rep. Gregg, and her bill would really address this issue quite clearly. And unfortunately, that bill has never gotten a hearing, and it's very similar to a bill that we had last session, which we couldn't get a hearing on. But there was a bill just recently introduced by a Republican, Representative Outman, 4345, and that bill immediately got a hearing. Unfortunately, what that bill does is it provides a huge loophole for the industry. What it says is that they can't use microbeads anymore unless they're biodegradable. But the bill doesn't define what biodegradable means. It doesn't stipulate that the biodegradability
has to
actually...
It doesn't stop it from entering the food chain before it biodegrades.
Well, exactly. And fish are eating these microbeads. The microbeads attract microbes of various kinds, including toxins and chemicals, which helps bioaccumulation. And we don't need these microbeads. There's no reason why these products have to contain these exfoliants. They could use the types of natural exfoliants that they were using years ago before they realized that these microbeads would be cheaper, things like apricot seeds or sand, oatmeal, things like that. But they've switched to these microbeads because they're incredibly cheap, and they're a persistent pollutant, and we need to just simply ban them.
So where is this headed? Are we going to get some action taken on this before the end of the calendar year or in the legislative session upcoming?
Well, I'm hopeful that we will, because like I said, this is an issue that I think is easy for folks on both sides of the political aisle to understand and for citizens to kind of wrap their heads around and say, well, why are we doing this? So how does this benefit us? And it's very obvious to see how it harms the Great Lakes. So I do think we can get some action on this. My biggest concern, though, is that we get action that doesn't have loopholes and doesn't have timelines that are so far off into the future that the current legislators will never see those timelines eclipsed, sort of like with the road deal. You know, we don't want to have something that doesn't phase in for 5 or 10 years. We need to take action now, and we need to make sure that there aren't loopholes.
Thank you very much for your time today. I'm most grateful.
My pleasure.
That is State Representative Jeff Irwin. I'm David Fair, and you've been listening to Issues of the Environment, a weekly segment produced in partnership with the Washtenaw County Environmental Health Division and heard each Wednesday as part of Morning Edition on 89.1 WEMU.